Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's
come aboard. Happy Sunday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you. From the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Warwick, New York to Warwick, Rhode Island, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Hey, listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA, everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7. That's at rocketmortgage.com. They're home to yours. The team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. Sunday show here for you, and we always love doing this Sunday show. Normally, you can catch us weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Eastern time, and today will be our final Sunday show as the DA show. The last 3-plus months have been a lot of fun here on Sundays, but we hand the baton off to the normal weekend programming staff, which we're excited about, which we know they're excited about to take over the weekend programming again. So today, we'll talk to Michael Lee, senior NBA writer of The Athletic. We'll talk to Michael about the return of the league, some tasty regular season games called seeding games, if you will, the final 8 regular season games, since they will not include non-playoff participants or teams that don't have a shot at making the playoffs, will be seeding games, as it were, for the NBA. So Michael Lee is going to join us from The Athletic coming up in about 40 minutes from now. In 20 minutes, Kevin Durant says, had he been healthy, he would not have competed in Orlando. Even had he been healthy, he would not have competed in Orlando. Should we question Kevin Durant's competitiveness? Also, later on in the show, Major League Baseball has its opening day set. That's a good thing. We'll talk about that. Also, Tom Brady and Russell Wilson could be at odds with the NFLPA for off-season workouts. We'll discuss whether there's a split happening in the Players Association for the NFL. And on Sundays, we give you the switching hour. Normally, during football season, these are the hours of the early window NFL games. And then later in this window, we call it the witching hour. Well, we here on the DA show call it the switching hour, things that we want to switch in the world of sports. So all of that coming up this afternoon here on the show. Very excited to be here with you. And we begin with that NBA regular season, the seeding season, if you will. Now we have it scheduled. It'll open up with a pair of games coming up in about a month from now. On July the 30th, we'll have the Jazz and the Pelicans. That's the early tip, which is a good one, as you have Zion Williamson looking for that 8th seed in the Western Conference. And then the late tip being Lakers and Clippers having LeBron versus Kawhi on July the 30th starts to get the juices flowing. You have other interesting matchups like the following day, the final day of July, the Celtics and the Bucks, two of the best teams of the Eastern Conference. Could that be an Eastern Conference Finals preview? You've got a plucky team of the Rockets who on July the 31st the double dip on a day where we will see Giannis and the Bucks take on Jason Tatum and the Celtics, the Rockets and the Mavericks. Luka Doncic versus Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Not bad. And on it goes where the NBA, when you start looking up and down the schedule, you go, oh, that could be fun. Grizzlies and Pelicans on August the 1st. You've got Ja versus Zion. Lakers and Rockets, August the 6th. The two best teams of the East, Raptors and Bucks, August the 10th. Now, these are not the only games, nor will they be the only games televised those days. We could have five, six, seven games in one day in the seeding season, if you will, and then the early round of the playoffs. But these are just some of the matchups that the NBA has set up, plucking some games that would have been played had there not been a pandemic between two teams still alive. When you look at the matchups and start hearing about the players involved, it starts to get the juices flowing. However, as we all know, in a bubble situation in Orlando, Disney World, without any fans in attendance, and knowing that it'll largely be neutral site games for the most part, even though we might see home floors, home courts, we won't have any fans, we won't have any travel, just a series of neutral site games. Will there be juice for this regular season? Will there be interest? Will there be excitement? Or is it just going to fall flat without fans in a bubble situation? The NBA usually builds hype pretty well. It's where we begin. Your cold open.
When you look at the schedule, there's some fun stuff in there. There's a pretty easy road for the New Orleans Pelicans. The Toronto Raptors have it pretty well. Memphis, Phoenix, maybe they sneak in. So there's a lot of kind of intrigue baked into these eight games that really make it somewhat unpredictable, which is not what you would have thought, you know, 4 months ago, that there would be unpredictability of who actually gets in.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was the voice of Steve Kuyler from Basketball Insiders right here on CBS Sports Radio earlier in the weekend. You know what? It's not going to be perfect. We know from watching NASCAR without fans, or international soccer without fans, or golf without fans, it's going to feel awkward. It's going to feel a little eerie. It's not going to have the same palpable energy and excitement and noise. But let me tell you this. If any league can pull off feeling fun and having a bounce, it's going to be the NBA. The NBA just does this really well. I mean, you open up on a Thursday night with a TNT doubleheader that includes Zion and the Pelicans to start off against Rudy Gobert and the Jazz, the team that kind of got everything shut down, and then finish that up that night with Clippers-Lakers, a TNT doubleheader. The following day, all of these games that I'm going to be mentioning are going to be on national TV. NBA TV, ESPN, ABC, Turner. They're getting these big matchups on your national network. So, because the NBA has done such a good job promoting its stars and building storylines, that even without fans, even at Disney World, yes, I believe there's going to be bounce, there's going to be juice. Now, look, part of that is simply because without sports, we've been dying for something. Without live events, we've been looking forward to an NBA postseason for so long. And so there's just going to be the natural inclination to get excited because, oh, here comes sports again. Here to the NBA again. Team sports in the States. This is fun. I know these teams. I know these players. Look, I'm sure many of you have tuned in to watch some NASCAR, maybe that weren't traditional NASCAR fans. Maybe you've tuned in to watch some Bundesliga or Premier League, not traditional soccer fans. Maybe you've watched some golf, not traditional PGA Tour fans, but you're watching because it's something. But this is more, these are teams and faces you're familiar with. And because the NBA has forever done such a good job at branding those stories and those players and those teams, yes, I think even without fans and even in a neutral site, I think there is juice for some of these matchups and some of these games. And to know that you're looking forward to Thursday night, July the 30th, a little over a month away, and you're going to see in your first game back Zion on TNT, and then the second game back Clippers-Lakers on TNT, don't tell me that doesn't get you as a basketball fan a little excited. It has to. So I believe even despite the challenges and how the atmosphere could feel very dull, I do think there's enough juice to get you through the end of the regular season and to the playoffs. You'll have July the 30th through August the 14th. So basically 2 weeks to set seeding going into the postseason. And let me just add this. If you've been listening to my show for any amount of time, you know where I'm going when it comes to baseball and scheduling. As a baseball fan myself, that buy season ticket packages every single year, it's not as though I'm rooting for the sport to go under or to fail or to erode away. But I gotta tell you, when I see the NBA restart its season and begin with Zion and then an LA Kawhi LeBron battle, I go, see, this is how you do it. Whereas Major League Baseball every single year defies logic by releasing its schedule during the previous season. It never made any sense to me that baseball would not prefer to wait to see, you know, who wins the World Series to then set the next year's schedule. The NFL seems to wait until the Super Bowl is decided to see who plays that opening Thursday night game. And you know what? This just did. It seems to do pretty well ratings-wise and interest-wise. But baseball, in its infinite wisdom, decides, let's put out next season's schedule in August of this season. And here's basketball, who's flipping around making juicy matchups with interest in the middle of their season. In the middle of the season. Now I realize baseball, as the other leagues have always done, have to factor in ticket purchases. Here you won't have to worry about fans saying, I've got to buy this ticket for this game, go on the road trip for this game, what have you. I realize you are stripping away that part of this and making it simpler. At the same time, baseball, can you take a page out of this book? Instead of having to get the schedule out on the August of the previous season, let it breathe. Let's see what's interesting. And then build your matchups around it. I read an article that suggested that baseball can't do those things because of the jigsaw puzzle of the schedule. You know, when stadiums will be available. I don't know, but wake me up the next time one of these baseball stadiums has a tenant that plays 81 dates there a year. The baseball stadiums revolve around the baseball teams. You got 81 dates there. Okay, there's going to be a Kenny Chesney concert in one. There's going to be a summer jam in there. I mean, what? What are we talking about? The jigsaw puzzle of stadium availability. I don't know. Are you held up because an MLS team might play at Yankee Stadium? Is this what's going on? Because the last time I checked, the last baseball team that played in one of these, a football team that played in one of these baseball stadiums went away. That would be in Oakland. That's not even a concern anymore. Baseball, take a page out of this basketball hand guide, would you? Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, hit me up. Follow me and tweet at me, DA on CBS. Mraz, no fans, neutral sites, not going to be much energy in the building, but do you think there's some juice once you saw the NBA regular season schedule announced?
I think there's definite juice. The moment the schedule got released, I couldn't wait to go through day by day and see what was going on. And I think there are obvious pros with this and obvious cons. I think the pros right off the bat, the NBA gets it, D.A. We are going to get, even during weekdays, some early starts, some weekday basketball. Games on a Friday that might start at 2 in the afternoon, then games at 4:30. And for a lot of the country who is not traveling, not taking their normal summer vacations, this provides a little entertainment release, something else to do if you get done going to the lake or the pool or whatever in the morning, some other form of entertainment than all of us just being suffocated by watching, you know, bad news on cable news. So I think that is tremendous. One con I do have to throw in here, though, when I see this, I did kind of roll my eyes and go, come on, we've waited this long for the NBA to come back, DA. Do we need just the two games on the first day? Why not just celebrate this thing and come out with a game at 2 or 4? You're showing you're doing this the whole time anyway. I don't need just the standard two-game doubleheader like we're sitting there on NBA opening night again when we've been really breathing and wanting this basketball back so badly. And I would also say, as part of that, I know they want to force feed Zion in there. I kind of felt a little icky at the idea of the team that basically started the shutdown with Corona, the Utah Jazz, being highlighted here in the first return game to the NBA. Something about that, to me, it's kind of like, are we going to go through a big celebration of, look how healthy these guys are, look, they had Corona? And that makes me feel a little icky inside that, you know, you're highlighting one of those two teams. Even though they didn't do anything bad, it's just something about it doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, it seems like you're capitalizing on the team that shut everything down by opening things up with them, with the Jazz and Pelicans. I would agree with you there. I actually like the two-game standalone and opening night, just because then all eyes are on these two games. And you know, for us doing this show with the next morning, it means that everybody will have watched these two games. The focus is on them. So it kind of feels like an event in that way. It'll be the only day, though, throughout the regular season, end of the regular season, that there will be only two games. Every other day, there's a minimum of, I think, 4 or 5 games. So it's the one day opening night where there's only two games. But I kind of like it for that reason. But we're asking you guys, is there enough juice to have you interested in the seeding season, the end of the regular season for the NBA? Or is it get me to the playoffs? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227, or follow me and tweet at me, DA on CBS. Speaking of the NBA, Kevin Durant was asked, if you were healthy, would you compete in Orlando? You might be surprised at his answer. It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
I'm going to do a downer.
Oh, no, no.
And I don't know why Jay-Z is an entrepreneur, not to produce for sports.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You can usually catch momentous moments like that here on the DA Show. Weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current to new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. If your normal radio station in your area, your CBS Sports Radio affiliate, does not carry the DA Show during your weekday mornings, that's okay. You can listen to us on your smart speaker. Just wake up with us every single day and tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio and get your day started with us. The NFL has the NBA has released its schedule for the end of the regular season, the 8 regular season games that these teams will play before the playoffs. No fans. Bubble League, all at Disney World's Wide World of Sports. But with some of the matchups, it's kind of fun. Asking you guys today, is there enough to be excited about with this NBA schedule to end off the regular season? We begin with Dom in New Jersey on the phones here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Damon. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing great. First of all, good to talk to you again. I spoke to you actually a couple, maybe 6 months to a year ago on The Fan. You did a great job. So,
thanks.
I gotta tell you, I mean, there's may not be fans in the arenas, but they're definitely happy fans at home because Adam Silver got this right from the very beginning. He listened to his players, and you know, when I looked at the schedule, I'm like, absolutely. I mean, Kawhi, not to mention you got storylines, John Morant, everybody. I mean, it's just a big thing. And You know, I'm glad to have basketball back because, you know, now not only do you have hype, but also for all the essential workers that have been working, you know, of course, sports is a big part of everyday life. And it's glad to see that the basketball season is going to be back, and it's glad to see that Adam Silver did a terrific job. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And Brooklyn in the house.
So. Appreciate you calling, Dom. Thanks so much, man. Thanks for the kind words as well. Adam Silver has continually proven that he has the ear on the ground to his league. He is consistently the most in tune with his league and with his players. Doesn't mean he's perfect, but Adam Silver did one thing that was very significant during all of this. He got the most influential and best players in the league on a conference call. That included LeBron, Chris Paul, the player president, and some others. And he said, frankly, do you want to play? Do you feel safe playing? And this was early in the process when there was a lot of unknown. And when those players roundly said yes, he said, okay, then let's move forward and try to find a solution. And I compare that to baseball, and I realize that there's a union, and I realize there are owners, so it's not just easy as saying a commissioner can ask one or two players what they want to do. I realize it's an entire spider web that you're kind of walking through. But Rob Manfred proved time and time again he had no feel on his players, and there was absolutely no unity in what do you guys want to do? What would you feel comfortable doing? How can we get your buy-in? There was none of that. There was owners, here's what we say. Players, here's what we say. And nobody's listening. The NBA proved during this that they had a commissioner and leadership that would listen and ask, what do you want to do? And when LeBron and others said, we want to play, is when Adam Silver said, then we will find the solution. That is, to me, the greatest lesson we could take away from this. Who knows if the NBA season goes off? Who knows? There's a million different what-ifs. Who knows if we crown an NBA champion? Who knows if this blows up in their face? All of those things are in play. But a commissioner asked his players, his most important players, what do you want to do? We will follow your lead. And that also, to me, is a check mark in the box of LeBron. LeBron did not hem and haw and say, I don't know, I'm a little worried about this, I'm worried about that. He said, I want to play. I want to play. Now, LeBron, maybe had he been injured or on a last place team, would have felt differently. But LeBron, of course, dictates so much of the NBA world and said, no, I want to play. And that's part of the reason why they have found a way to play. What do you think about the NBA's restart? Enough juice for you in the regular season, or will you shrug your shoulders? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Curtis tweets, the NBA season ratings were down. So this league, nobody's waiting to see them or dying to see them come back. Nobody gives a damn about the buddy-buddy league that destroys small markets and kisses big markets' asses. Okay, that's your thoughts on that? I would disagree. I think the NBA has proven time and time again to be the second most influential league in our sports landscape of the States. I think there are plenty of people looking for it to come back. But that's your thoughts? I'm looking for your thoughts today here on the show. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter. Follow me and tweet at me. DA on CBS. So talking about how LeBron wanted to play, I want to play for you some audio from Kevin Durant. KD was on a podcast, and he was asked, if you were healthy, would you have come back to play in this regular season in Orlando? Here was what Kevin Durant said.
Me right now, I probably wouldn't have played because, I mean, it's just the unknown going into that situation looks crazy right now. You know, seeing so many new cases, and, you know, it's just so unpredictable. So, I mean, it's easy for me to say right now because I'm injured, but I probably wouldn't have went down there.
That's from the Dog Talk podcast. I probably wouldn't have went down there, even if I was healthy. Look, I'm not here to make any moral judgments on these guys. If you feel uncomfortable, unsafe, if you have family members that are at risk, if you don't want to put anybody around you at risk, I totally understand that. I think everybody in this country has had to deal with this coronavirus and quarantine and everything in their own way. So I'm not here to judge saying I don't feel safe doing this. But I have to say, it is so within, it is so on par with the Kevin Durant narrative, isn't it? That KD, for as brilliant as he is, for as incredibly gifted from a basketball standpoint as he is, always gives you a head-scratching moment where you go, wow, really, dude? Really? Wow, all right. I mean, whether it's fighting with 12-year-olds on Twitter, making burner accounts on Instagram, whether it's fighting social media-wise with other players in the league, whether it's lashing out at critics in an analyst position, whether it's feeling as though he's never loved, never appreciated, whatever it is, he's always feeling, I guess, embattled or made the villain. I don't know. He was, I suppose, minimized for making his decision to go to Golden State. And every step along the way, Kevin Durant, for as absolutely genius as his basketball is, continually does and says things that make you just scratch your head. So Kevin Durant, even had he been healthy, could you imagine having an NBA regular season, NBA playoffs, and arguably the second best player in the NBA? Maybe you would even argue a better player than LeBron because of what LeBron's age is, although LeBron's season this year has been impeccable. Saying, no, I don't care if 95% of the league's playing, I'm not going. Could you imagine? Again, maybe he feels this way because he wouldn't be playing anyway because he's injured and it's hard to put himself in those shoes. And the Nets obviously don't have a team that are going to win the NBA Finals. But could you imagine? I mean, yes, we've had some guys pull out. Trevor Ariza pulled out. Avery Bradley pulled out. But could you imagine having one of the super-duper stars in the league healthy saying, yeah, I don't care that everybody else is going. I'm not going. And that you had Kyrie as the guy trying to rally the troops of not going down and playing in Orlando. And these two guys are the same team. Kyrie saying, I don't think anybody should go. And Kevin Durant go, even if I was healthy, I wouldn't go. All right, guys. Oh, man. All right. Kind of perfectly fits the KD narrative, doesn't it? Mraz, you're a Brooklyn Nets fan. I've always found you to be pretty much supportive of everything that Kyrie and KD have done and said, but even you've got to scratch your head at Kevin Durant saying, I wouldn't have played even if I was healthy.
Of course he would play if he was healthy. He just left a situation with Golden State, DA, where everybody after he won all these championships said, yeah, he's great, but he did it with Clay. He did it with Steph Curry. You're telling me if the Brooklyn Nets, and he was healthy all year, are a one or a two seed, he is going to shut it down and not play in Orlando and not prove to the world he could win a title without Steph Curry, Clay Thompson, and Draymond Green? There is a 0.0000% chance that would be the case.
So you think that he's saying something that he doesn't actually believe?
Yes. I think he's saying something that's very easy for him to say because he knows he's not involved right now anyway.
Well, what's his win there for saying this?
Because he still is a cachet superstar, and I guess, you know, to him, there's probably still a bunch of people, and his buddy Kyrie didn't want to play for different reasons as well, even though he wouldn't have played anyway, where I think he thinks he can win over some of those fans who maybe don't feel like the NBA should be playing, and he's kind of the voice of them, when in reality, it's just an easy thing for him to say. And also just to have himself out there and have himself involved, because frankly, the moment he's not playing in the court and the moment we start playing these games at the end of July, who the heck cares what Kevin Durant says, does, or what he's thinking? We're not going to care about Kevin Durant until around Christmas time when we start the new NBA season again.
So you think this is KD just making sure he stays relevant for another news cycle?
Of course it is. He's already missed this entire season. It's almost like this is a second season in many ways that Kevin Durant won't be a part of because of the shutdown. And that is a lot in basketball terms for a big superstar to not be on the limelight, to not be, you know, on the tip of our tongue. And Kevin Durant's finding a way to try to get people to still talk about him, stay relevant. By the way, that's been Kevin Durant's MO his whole time when he's fighting with everybody on social media. He constantly thrives for people to want to talk about him. And this is just a kind of dirty excuse to want to be out there, and there's no way of ever being able to prove that he would be lying here, and he knows that, but we all know it's nonsense. If the Nets were at the top of the standings and had a chance to win a title, he's absolutely playing.
What happens if they're at the bottom of the standings? What happens if he's healthy but they're an 8 seed?
See, that I don't buy that. I don't think that if Kevin Durant was healthy all year, the Nets would be an 8 seed. I think that's a hypothetical that doesn't exist.
Well, no. Let's say that he had been cleared to play basketball.
Play. Okay. Well, I'm going on the assumption he probably could be cleared to play basketball anyway, but I think in his mind, he doesn't want to rev up on this stage, no fans in front of
and
him.
And I totally get that. No, I absolutely totally understand wanting to risk another injury.
I think he's doing that anyway. The Nets are at the bottom of the standings, and my guess would be he's probably healthy enough to take the floor in August anyway. So I think that's what he's doing.
So then you're saying that he actually is choosing not to play.
Yeah, he's choosing not to play, but he's choosing not to play based on the fact that he doesn't think he can win a title right now, is my point.
So you don't think he's choosing not to play because of coronavirus?
No.
Concerns.
He's choosing not to play because he knows he cannot win the title this year. If he had played all year and was in that rhythm, staying healthy through this whole pandemic, and the Nets were at the top of the standings and not battling with the Magic for the 7-8 or falling out of the 9, yes, I think Kevin Durant is absolutely playing because he wants to win a championship. He's not playing now because his team is done, and he doesn't want to have to rev it back up only to not look like himself potentially because he's rusty and this is competitive basketball out the jump.
So this is where Kevin Durant is a really bizarre cat, is that he is constantly feuding with people that take shots at him, that criticize him on social media. He is constantly sensitive or vulnerable to all of these types of slings and arrows, whether it comes from a 12-year-old at Instagram or whether it comes from Charles Barkley or whatever. NBA analysts, Hall of Famers, 12-year-olds, they're all the same. He's going to fight with everybody to the death to defend his reputation. And yet he'll say something like, I wouldn't even play in Orlando even if I was healthy, which is only going to make more people absolutely want to criticize him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But in his mind, he doesn't view it that way. He thinks people are going to eat from his fingertips and go, look at Kevin Durant. He's got the right mindset here during a pandemic. You tell the rest of those NBA players, KD, when in reality, it's just nonsense.
Unless he thinks he has the ethical high ground here. I mean, he did say he didn't disagree with players that would play, that are playing. He just wouldn't play. But he's got to know how this sounds. I mean, come on. The rest of the league is playing. I mean, of course, Avery Bradley, family situation. Trevor Ariza, family situation. If Kevin Durant said that, you could totally understand
right,
it.
Right, of course.
He's got to know that this opens him up for just another Pandora's box of a round of criticism that he's not very competitive.
KD's ego, that never matters and never checks out to him.
Although, I mean, he's constantly sensitive, so maybe he doesn't have the ego that we think. It's impossible to ever kind of put your finger on Kevin Durant's motives here, but Kevin Durant claimed that even if he was healthy, he would not play in Orlando. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS, Michael Lee, NBA writer for The Athletic, coming up next.
Yeah, you like that big boy?
How long have DA and Marash known each other?
Yeah, the network, yeah.
Oh, so they have been working together that
long?
From
January of 13.
Okay.
Of 12.
That explains a lot, okay.
Well, why? What do you mean by that?
I mean, just like how that whole thing, the dynamic of that whole thing over there.
Right, yeah, of course. They've been working together for a while now.
Right.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, we like to call ourselves that thing over there. Welcome back, DA, here on CBS Sports Radio. Damon Amendola. Glad you're with us. And the NBA is coming back. We now have it scheduled. Joining us here to break it down, senior writer for The Athletic, Michael Lee. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much for dropping on by. And How much support was there within the player circles for returning and finishing this season? Was it a pretty overwhelming majority, or was there some split there?
I think there was a one majority. I think there was, you see the guys understand that, you know, there's no alternative. You know, if you want to play basketball, you want to play competitive basketball and do what you've been training your whole life to do, this is the only option right now. So obviously there are going to be some people who don't feel comfortable playing for a number of reasons, whether it's, you know, fears over COVID-19 or social justice issues that they want to, push forward. Some guys aren't going to go. And so that was part of what happened. There won't be a significant, major penalty for not going down there. And I think that guys respect each other because this is unusual circumstance. And, it's not like it's just a typical situation where you just want to play basketball. No, there's a pandemic going on. And there are a lot of things happening in this country that probably can be viewed as being much more serious.
What type of basketball do you expect when we finally return? Will there be enough time to work out the kinks and the rust and actually have decent basketball in the final 8 games of the regular season?
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like, we might be phrasing this wrong because it doesn't feel like a continuation of the season. It feels like it's starting all over again. I mean, when you think about, the fact that everything shut down in March and then you picked it back up again in July, well, most seasons end in June, and you pick it back up in October. So this is basically this is a brand new season, just with the same players on the team. So we can't expect teams to just pick up where they left off and just be in that same rhythm because they've been out of rhythm. They haven't had opportunity to develop that chemistry, to have that camaraderie. I mean, obviously you have that if you're a veteran team, you've been around each other for a while. But in terms of just going out there and playing basketball again, it's going to take some time. Preseason games are always pretty sloppy, but now that's essentially what you're going to get, in these 8 games. It could be pretty ugly. There'll be some teams that probably won't put, if you don't feel like they have a legitimate chance of making the playoffs, they probably won't view this as any more than this opportunity to just get some reps and move forward. Teams that, have championship aspirations, obviously they're going to try to play at their best, but it's going to take a while before they find that rhythm with each other.
Michael Lee's coverage of the NBA is phenomenal for The Athletic. Senior writer there. He joins us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Is there any way to really give the quote-unquote home team or the higher seed in the playoffs any type of advantage when we get this thing going?
No, there's no such thing. There won't be any kind of advantage. Everybody's going to be at the same disadvantage, really, because nobody's going to be familiar with the facilities. No one's going to be able to have the upper hand. The only upper hand you're going to have is either through your talent, through your veteran presence, or just through your familiarity with each other. It won't come from a crowd. You won't have anybody cheering for you, no matter what kind of noise they pump in or whatever they do in terms of lighting to try to make it feel like, it's a home arena. It's not, So I think that opens it up for it to be kind of exciting, because there probably will be some surprises. There will be some teams that really rely on their home court to, pull out some tough wins. They won't have that going for them. And so I think it's going to lead to an entertaining product in some respects, but I think overall it's going to be kind of hard to watch initially.
If LeBron didn't want to come back and play, do you think they would have played this season?
I think it would have been a harder sell, because, the corporate sponsors, ESPN, TNT, they know that if they can get LeBron out there as much as possible, then that's going to sell product. And that's really what has to be done. And so if he said for some reason he couldn't play, or if he physically wasn't able to play from injury, I think they would have probably still pushed forward. I mean, he wasn't a part of the postseason last year, and I don't know what the numbers said, but I'm pretty sure people watched. They still saw the Toronto Raptors win the championship, and it's one of the more compelling Eastern Conference playoffs that we've seen in a while. And the Warriors, they kept it going even though they didn't have Kevin Durant. So I don't think one star stops the show, but I think the fact that LeBron wanted to play definitely gave the league and his partners incentive to do whatever they could to make sure this season continued to go on.
I really liked your piece on John Wall the other day for The Athletic. And, Wall's been such an interesting player. The Wizards have never ascended to being a championship contender, but they were really bad before he got there for a really long time. And your piece was about how we don't really give enough credit to what John Wall provided for that franchise. Why do you think in many ways that Wall has not been given that type of credit?
Well, honestly, I think one of the reasons why is because he plays for the Wizards. And a lot of people don't want to really give credit to anything that they've done because they have sort of just seen as a franchise just always in disarray and can't really win. But also, I think there was some perception things with him, you know, early on. A lot of people were able to make judgments based on, you know, a lot of national pundits who never met him and never talked to him and were given this platform, this kind of spread sort of misinformation about who he was and what he was all about. And I think that initial stamp that he received early on kind of hurt him in some ways, and it made it hard for him to overcome that in the eyes of, you know, outsiders. And so I think that, you know, when you look at the Wizards franchise history, which is something I did because I covered the team for a long time, you realize that it's not known for having a lot of success, and especially since the West Unseld days. But the one thing I think that I marvel about when it comes to John is, you know, since Tim Duncan was taken number one overall in 1997, he's the only guy in the last 23 years who has spent a decade with his franchise. Mm. I mean, everybody else has either asked for a trade, been traded, some instances even been cut because things just didn't work out. You know, either the team didn't want them or they didn't want to be with the team anymore. But I think that, you know, there's a certain amount of loyalty that actually has unfolded between the two sides. We'll see how it goes when he gets back on the court. And, you know, he's the pressure is on for him to live up to his contract. But I think that overall they've been good for each other because they needed each other.
It's a really great piece. If you're an NBA fan, I highly encourage you to check it out in The Athletic. Michael Lee, follow him on Twitter for that link and for other links going back for the NBA's return to the court, Mr. Michael Lee on Twitter, at Mr. Michael Lee. Mike, it's really great to catch up with you, man. Thanks so much for doing it today. Enjoy the return of the NBA. Hopefully we'll talk to you again.
Sure. Thank you for having me on. Take care.
You got it. Michael Lee joining us, senior NBA writer for The Athletic. When we come back here on the show, we continue and we tackle the Knicks making even more mistakes.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.